This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Holy Quran Allah says إن الله يحب المحسنين. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith narrated by Sayyidatuna Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها. إن الله يحب إذا عمل عامل عملا أن يتقنه. In the ayah which I quoted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a very famous ayah, a very short ayah. Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsineen. Inna Allah, inna means verily. Verily Allah, it means certainly. Allah loves the muhsineen. Allah loves the muhsineen. Like Allah says, are you a muhsin? Are you from the muhsineen? I love you. So it's extremely important for every Muslim to know what it takes to become one of the muhsinin. And the singular of muhsin, muhsinin is muhsin. So muhsinin are those who is plural and muhsin is singular. So this verse, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, Verily Allah loves the muhsineen, appears 5 times in the Holy Quran. Allah says, "In Allah yuhibbul muhsineen, Allah loves the 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 muhsineen." Just in this verse, 5 verses of exactly the same mentioned in the Holy Quran in various surahs of the Quran. But there are many other verses also. Inna Allah yuhibbu al muhsineen, Inna Allah قَرِيبُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah says he is close to the muhsineen. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Verily, Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy is close to the muhsineen. So we need to know what the muhsineen. And maybe we should make a distinction between mu'mineen and muhsineen. And what is also we need to know what is ihsan. Ihsan. A word that we hear every day, maybe, or hear a lot, especially when speakers speak about Islam, they speak a lot about ihsan. So let's analyze this word first of all. Let's try and come to grips with the word muhsineen. Muhsineen is the plural, I said, of muhsin, and muhsin refers to the individual Muslim. And what are the qualities of this Muslim? The word muhsin means perfection. It means excellence. It means beauty. It means all these 3 things and more. You know, the English language can never explain exactly what the Arabic means, but we can hear the sense of what it means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the muhsineen, and he talks about those people who are beautiful, who are excellent, who strive for excellence, and who strive for perfection. Basically, that is the muhsineen. Allah says, I love those people. I love those people who strive for perfection. Doesn't matter if it's a housewife, if it's a professor, if it's a doctor, if it's a lawyer, if it's a sheikh, if it's your child at school. It doesn't matter whether baking a cake or sweeping the floor or sweeping the street. If you believe that you have to do it with perfection, you are from the muhsineen. That is only in daily life. That, of course, extends to the spiritual life. that extends to our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we'll talk. I'm just giving a general meaning of what it means. And then something which is hasan. Hasan means beautiful. It means excellent. It means perfection. Again. Ihsan, the word ihsan is goodness. It means charity, goodness, open-heartedness, mindfulness of others. And it comes across in the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us now distinguish between mu'min and muhsin. What is a mu'min and what is a muhsin? Maybe we all had the idea that the mu'minun, they are the highest level. But today we'll hear that the muhsinun, they are higher than the mu'minun. By virtue of what? What makes the muhsin better than the mu'min? In our eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. Allah decides that. Who is good and who is bad and who is better than the other. We can't. We can't prejudge people. We're not allowed to judge people and say, well, maybe he's a muhsin. And maybe this one is... No, that's Allah's job. Only Allah knows what is in the heart. So the first definition of a muhsin, a person of beauty and perfection and excellence, is that his inside is reflected in his outside. His inside is reflected in his outside. What is inside him, you see in his character and in his behavior. He's good inside, he's good outside. He's not bad inside and outside is good. No, he's good inside and he's good outside. And why do we say he's like that? I mean, we'll come back to that, inshallah. So that's the first definition of a person who's a muhsin, a person who strives for perfection. Or we say a good person. A muhsin is a good person, an excellent person. He's not perfect. He's beautiful in character, beautiful in deeds. He's not perfect because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Nobody else is perfect besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've said then that this word means beautiful. It means goodness, beauty in two senses, beauty in the physical sense. We know that beauty, a beautiful thing is a beautiful thing. People say, oh, that's a beautiful car, it's a beautiful lady. We don't say beautiful man. We say, well, he's a man, handsome man, or his character is very good. Because a man is known by his behavior, by his character. And he's generous, he's charitable, he's amicable. It's almost like a perfect human being, subhanAllah. So that's a muhsin, a person who is good in himself and does good to others. Why do I say he's inside and outside good? Why is he inside and outside good? There is hadith, a very famous hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Jibreel came in the form of a man and he sat amongst the companions and he asked the Prophet certain questions. One of the questions he asked was, Ma huwa al-ihsan? He said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is ihsan? What is goodness? What is perfection? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered, الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. I want you to listen carefully. I'm trying to speak slowly so that you can absorb the core of the discussion on muhsineen. So when you read the Quran again, you come across muhsineen, you'll know exactly that the first thing I said was that the outside and the inside are the same. So how does this hadith connect to that? Prophet said, when he was asked what is ihsan, he said, that you should worship Allah as if you can see him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Because verily, if you cannot see him, and we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, he certainly sees you. And what does Allah see of you? Are you like a photograph to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Allah sees everything about you. Right inside. Allah sees you like a scan. In the hospital, you go for a scan. It scans your whole body. Inside and outside. So, a muhsin is the person who is aware that Allah looks at him all the time. Inside and outside. And because of that awareness, that Allah sees right inside his heart, deep inside his heart, every second of the day. What does he do? He tries to be the excellent person Allah wants him to be. So we, for example, we human beings, we go to work and we must work from 8 to 5 and then your boss leaves maybe at 10 o'clock and he says, look, I've gone to a meeting, I'm coming back at 12. Everybody downs their pants, open their satchels, take out their lunch, or goes on to some other thing on the internet, and that's not perfection in the eyes of Allah. It's taking the right of your employer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. So a person like that cannot be a muhsin, because outwardly he shows to be one person, and when that person turns his back, he's another person. But Allah doesn't turn his back. Allah watches. And if you want Allah to watch you with a smile, you have to be inside what you are outside. Then Allah smiles. You don't want Allah to look at you 24/7, even when you're sleeping and Allah is angry with you. No, you want Allah to look at you. Well, you know, I'm looking at my servant, my slave, mashallah. What is inside him is outside of him. So that is one definition of a muhsin. He is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't watch him, Allah looks at him. And if he's a muhsin and Allah sends rahmah down upon him and ikram, honor down upon him, and we'll come to that later. So, what is then the real difference between a mu'min and a muhsin? A true believer who's a mu'min. And Allah says he loves the mu'mineen also. Inna Allah yuhibbul mu'mineen. The question of ihsan. Question of ihsan. Goodness. There is ihsan between Allah and his servant, and ihsan between servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between us, human beings. We have ihsan between us. What did you say? What is ihsan? To worship Allah as if you can see him. For if you cannot see him, he sees you. Ihsan between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what the Prophet said. That you must worship Allah. And the Muslim is always in a state of worship, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is ihsan between me and you? Ihsan between me and you is to be mindful of one another, to be kind to one another. And I'm not saying to your friend and to the one that wears the same fashion as you, live next to you in the same neighborhood and is as rich as you, as poor as you, or is your cousin or your friend. No, everybody. Ihsan towards everything, in fact, to the ecosystem, to the animals, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your enemies. All this eventually leads to the path of Jannah. All the sacrifices we make in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not for nothing. So between me and you, we need to be charitable to each other. And we live now in a time when our charitableness is going to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've not yet been tested. People are still getting their salaries. People are getting grants. People's bonds have been stopped. People have stopped paying on their bonds. They've got a leeway, a tight period of grace, all this is going to come to an end soon. And soon we'll have to share. Are we preparing for that? Are we ready for that? Are we looking forward to sharing? May Allah give that we don't knock on others' doors. May Allah give that others knock on our doors. May we get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is being kind. That is being, that is ihsan between human beings. I want to support this goodness between human beings by narrating to you a hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, beautiful hadith. I'm sure those of you who hear this hadith will not forget the hadith. Aisha reports the following incident. Aisha says, a lady came to knock on the door. Aisha, of course, is the wife of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She came with two small girls, her children, and she came to ask Aisha for food. That is why when somebody comes knocking on your door and you ask for food, it's farad on you to give him food. If you ask for money, you can decide to give or not to give. He says, I need 5 rand or 10. It's your due. You can decide, I want to give you, or I want to give you, or I have, or I don't have. But food, you have to give the person something to eat. Why? Because a person whose stomach is full will not never ask for food. Because where does he put the food? When you're full, you're full. But money, you don't know where the money goes. So if a person asks you for food, if you ask you for food and you have something to give him in terms of money, give him that also. But never turn a person away who comes to ask you for food. Very, very important. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns us away if you ask him for food. We'll starve to death. SubhanAllah. Because everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this woman comes and knocks on the door and she's got two girls with her. Two small girls. And Aisha gives her 3 dates. SubhanAllah. One can imagine there was nothing else probably in the Prophet's house except dates. And she gave the woman 3 dates, meaning 1 date for her and 1 date for each of her children. And Aisha stands at the door and she gives 1 date to the one daughter, little girl, and she gives the other date to the other little girl. And then she raises the 3rd date as if she's going to put it in her mouth, but she doesn't put it in her mouth. She puts it in between her fingers and she breaks it in half. And she gives the 1 half to the one daughter and the other half to the other girl. She didn't eat anything of the 3 dates. Aisha was so impressed. Aisha was so impressed with this woman. SubhanAllah. She didn't even take half a date for herself. This mother didn't even take a half a date for herself. She gave all the dates to her children in equal quantities. So when the Prophet came home, she narrated the story to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Rasulullah, this woman came with 2 small girls. I was so impressed. I gave her 3 dates. She gave 1 to each of her children and she broke it in half. I thought she was going to eat it and she gave that half, also 1 after the one daughter, 1 after the other. What did the Prophet say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ SubhanAllah. Act not of strangers to one another. I mean, not of a mother to the children. We think, well, you know, she knows the children is hungry. She will give it to him. She will give it to the children. But another mother may have just taken the 1 day and put it in her mouth and given the other 2. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, with that act of hers, breaking the 1 date in half and giving her 1 half to the one, half to the other, قَدْ أَوْجَبَ لَهَا بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ Allah has made Jannah compulsory on her. SubhanAllah. Ihsan. That is Ihsan. So we can see Ihsan is not just about strangers and strangers. Ihsan is about your closest. It starts at home. Starts with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with your family, with your brothers and your sisters. That's where Ihsan. You can't say, well, I give a lot of charity to the poor, but your own family is suffering. Your own family gets nothing from you. You tell them, no, you're working, you could do this. You know, already I'm giving you too much. No. Charity begins at home. Ihsan begins at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ahsinu. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. First I quoted was, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Verily Allah loves the do-gooders. Because goodness comes from here. It starts here. There's nothing here. Nothing will come from the hand. It has to be in here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says now, Ahsinu. Do good. Allah commands. Allah says, do good. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muhsini. Allah loves the good doers. Allah says, I love you. If you are good, I love you. Allah doesn't say you must give everything away. No, Allah says, no, do good. I love you. So, what is another definition of the difference between a mu'min and a muhsin? First, we said a mu'min is the one who he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a muhsin is the one who is charitable. He shares, and Allah loves that. The other difference is the mu'min is huwa alladhi yuaddi at-takleef al-ma'ruda al-mafruda alayh. The mu'min, the true believer, the mu'min, is the one who executes and carries out the responsibilities and obligations which Allah fard obligations which Allah has placed upon him. So that's a believer. That's a mu'min. What is a mu'min? A mu'min is the one who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, believes in the Tawheed, number one. He makes salah 5 times a day. He or she fasts in the month of Ramadan. He or she gives zakah. He or she goes for hajj at least once in their lifetime. That is a mu'min. So if you want to be a mu'min, subhanallah, you make salah, fast, month of Ramadan, you give 2.5% zakah, you go for hajj, you're a mu'min. So what is a muhsin? Doesn't the muhsin have to do the same? No. A muhsin is huwa yazidu min at-takalif fawqa ma farada Allahu alayhi. The muhsin is the person who increases upon that which Allah has made obligatory upon him. Of the same kind. For example, this is very important to understand. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made salah fard. So in terms of salah, he increases the salah. How does he increase the salah? What does he do? He gets up at night. Makes a hajjud salah. Don't fall upon him. You can sleep from Aisha to Fajr. Allah's not going to punish him. But he says to himself that just making 5 times salah is not... Allah deserves more of me. That's what he says. Allah deserves more of me. So what does he do? He makes his 4 rakahs before dhuhr, 4 rakahs after dhuhr, 4 rakahs before asr. Never skips his 2 sunnahs before fajr. Never skips his witr salah. But over and above that, he wakes up at night and he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about that later again. So what is the muhsin? The muhsin is he who increases. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, zakah, you must give 2.5%. He says, Ya Allah, 2.5%, no. I'm going to give 10%. This year Allah's been so kind to me, this year I'm going to give 20%. Next year I'm going to, whatever Allah gives me, I'll give more. SubhanAllah, that's a muhsin. So what is a muhsin? A mu'min is the one who just carries out what Allah has made obligatory upon him, and that will take him to Jannah. But if you want Allah to love you, you must do extra. Not must do extra, you want to do extra. Fasting. So you shall fast in the month of Ramadan. Like the mu'min fast in the month of Ramadan. But I will fast the 6 days of Shawwal. I maybe fast once a week or Mondays and Thursdays or once a month. But I will not only fast in the month of Ramadan. I feel like, oh Allah, more than the month of Ramadan. Hajj. He goes once for Hajj and he says, no. Allah's given me rizq. I'll go again for Hajj. Or I'll go for Umrah. I'll go again for Umrah. So the Muhsin is the one who always exceeds the duties which Allah has put upon him. He can't say, well, I make five times Salah. To do more, I'll give more charity. No, those are two separate issues. If it's Salah you want, if it's a Salah, you want to be a Muhsin of Salah, you must make more Salah. Five times, but you can make in the night Salah. Make all your sunnah salahs, you can make duha salah, you can make awabin salah. There's many other salah you can make. And so, that is then the difference in exercising one's iman and recognizing the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a job right now as you're listening to this, you're lucky. But that luck is not luck. That comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then looks at your whole life and says, this is a good woman, it's a good man, it's a good son, a good daughter. They were charitable to their parents, loved their parents, so obedient to their parents. Always charitable. Always practicing ihsan. Keep your job. Because Allah looks at your history. Allah looks at your history. And then Allah decides. Allah doesn't say, well, today you've given... No. Because Allah's history with you is that Allah has finally created you in the womb of your mother. And Allah knows you before you even born. Allah knows your whole history. But if you want to change your life and become a muhsin, mashallah, Allah will know that as well. Maybe you were a bit stingy before. Now you realize there's so many people that goes without food and I have food. I should be so grateful. Subhanallah, if I gave 10 dirhams in charity people, now I should put 20 dirhams. Because the need is so great and I'm so lucky and fortunate to have food in my house. Subhanallah, or to have a roof over my head. So Allah subhanallah says, كَانُوا قَلِيلٌ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. They sleep little at night. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't mean now that you must... No. The best part to make the tahajjud salah is the last third of the night. Before Fajr. So you get up a bit earlier for Fajr. You start making two rakas before Fajr. You have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning. No. You get up an hour before Fajr and you make your wudu and you make your two rakas. And you kneel and say, Ya Allah, this is my night salah. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila a'malikum walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum. Prophet says, Allah doesn't look at what you do and how what you look like, whether you are dirty, whether you don't have clothes, whether you sleep in a shelter. No, Allah doesn't look at those things. Allah looks at your heart. Because it's a heart that has to change. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the early dawn hours, that hour just before Fajr. So if Fajr is now 6:30, so from 7:30 to 6:30. I mean from 5:30 to 6:30. That is the, as they say, the bewitching hour. That is the hour of Tawbah. Also, Tahajjud and Tawbah. That is when you sit. In the school, you sit in your bed after taking wudu, and you sit, you read Quran maybe for 10 minutes, make istighfar for 5 minutes, wait for the adhan to go, and you will become of the muhsinin. And Allah will love you. That's all we want. Because sometimes we don't have to get love in this world. But if Allah loves you, subhanallah, you have all the love that you can manage. It's the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is love? Love in this dunya is the heart leans towards the beloved. prayer of the heart. Prophet ﷺ made dua, said, Ya Rab, please do not take me in, do not judge me. No. He said, Oh Allah, you can judge me if I do not give to all my wives equally in terms of food and whatever else, material things. But he said, Oh Allah, you can't judge me if my heart leans more to one wife and not to the others. Because he says, Oh Allah, you are in charge of the heart. I'm not in charge of my heart. Allah is muqallib al-qulub. Allah works with the heart, muqallib al-qulub. So, love is that which where the heart leans towards, and that is in Allah's hands. Heart leans towards, that is love between human beings. This is the definition of love between. So what is it when Allah loves you? What does Allah do? How does Allah love you? We love each other like that, but how does Allah love you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you by sending down to you mercy and honor. Allah is merciful to you. Allah looks after you. Doesn't desert you. Many things, you can see it in your life. All the mercy descends upon you. Think, how am I going to manage? And suddenly something happens. You know, I feel this pain here. And it goes away. Somebody, doctor says, do this or do that. Say, oh, you know, I had this thing for so long. I went to so and so and so on. It's Allah. Allah is musabbibul asbab. The doctor is the sabab, the cause of giving you the medicine, but the musabbibul asbab, the creator of the doctor, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this ihsan which Allah wants from us, Allah wants us to be muhsineen, isn't it? In becoming muhsineen, Allah wants us to develop the khuluq of Allah, the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything Allah does, He perfected it. Everything Allah created the universe, Allah created you and me. All perfect for a time. Not perfect forever. Our perfection decreases, Allah remains perfect. Allah is the only perfect in His creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves perfection, Allah loves beauty. As I said, hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah loves when a person does something, that he does it and yutqinahu, that he does it to perfection. Then Allah smiles down upon him. Everything you do, whatever you do. And we see why Allah is happy with perfection. Because many people say, oh, this is just the dunya, you know, out to Barama to die, you know, just kap niti sveka dana, so right, you know. No. Whatever you do, you have to try and do it to perfection. Because that is the khuluq of Allah. That is the nature of Allah. It's the character of Allah. That Allah, whatever Allah does, Allah perfects. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's endowed us with intelligence, He wants our intelligence. He wants us to use our intelligence to perfect the world in which we live. He's happy. It's like a child. You send him to school. He does well in his grades. He passes matric. He goes to university. He becomes a professor. He becomes a doctor. He becomes a scientist. He becomes a successful businessman. Or he just becomes a good person. His intelligence has led him to perfection. Allah smiles upon him. Allah smiles upon the parents. And you've succeeded to make a contribution to the world which I've created for you. And you're following the divine example of itqan, perfection. Itqan, perfection. So do not be of those people who say, Usmane, dunya khut. No. If you've got a car, look after it. Got a wife, look after her. Got a husband, look after him. If you have children, remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell them the good stories of perfection. And if we all strive for perfection, I mean, I'll take a simple example. Somebody bakes a cake. Your wife bakes a cake. She knows you like a certain kind of cake. So she makes this cake. And she, the whole day you're at work and she does this cake. And you come home and the cake is on the table and you say, what do you say? Allah, mashallah, wow, what a beautiful cake. You say, mashallah, you mention Allah's name. You just say, Allah. Many people say, Allah, you know. You say, Allah, you know. Somebody comes with a new car, say, Allah, you know. So, by you doing something which is beautiful, something which is excellent, people will say Allah because of the amazement. That's Allah. Will say Subhanallah. Or they say MashaAllah. So the name of Allah becomes familiar as part of our lingo, as they say, part of our language. I mean, today we have many words in our language which makes no sense at all. People. You say, how are you? Good, good in you? Good in you? Where's Alhamdulillah? Where's Alhamdulillah? How are you? Alhamdulillah. That is the atmosphere that we must create using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will find that even the people who don't believe in Allah will say Allah. I've seen that in the marches we had, 76. We used to march down Klipfontein Road. The Muslims shout, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Everybody shouts, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Every Christian in the world knows the words Allahu Akbar, whether it is in the United States, in England, or in South Africa. And who's created that atmosphere? Muslims, by their excellent behavior, create that kind of atmosphere. So, the message of today is that we should always intend to do our best. Of course, we sometimes don't have the money to do the best, but we should try to do the utmost that we can to become muhsineen. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He loves the muhsineen. And what is the muhsin in terms of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He always realizes, I'm not doing enough in my ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always have that. I'm not doing enough, you know. I sometimes skip a sunnah before dhuhr or after dhuhr. I always think, you know, Allah give me so much, I don't have time even. Subhanallah. So the lockdown is a good thing. And this striving for perfection and knowing that you become a muhsin and knowing that muhsin, Allah says He loves me. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsin. Allah says, I love the muhsin. Imagine Allah in the seven heavens says to the angels, so and so, I love him because he's muhsin. Because he does good. He's charitable. In his nature, he's charitable. He realizes what he has comes from me. That's why one day when a man came, I heard this many years ago, man came to greet to go for Hajj, and it was a poor person that he went to greet, but a very pious person, pious man. And he said to the man said, he said to them, in Buddha, please make dua for me. I'm going for Hajj, please make dua for me. So the man said, you also make dua for me. But can I ask you a favor? Ask Allah to make me a zakah payer. One who pays zakah. So this man was astonished. Nobody's ever asked him that. Said, when you go to the Kaaba, when you go for Hajj, remember me and say, oh Allah, make him a payer of zakah. So he asked this pious man. He said to him, why are you asking me to make that kind of dua? Many people ask, oh, may Allah make me that I must also go for Hajj. May Allah give my health. May Allah make my iman strong. And the normal is, please ask Allah for us also to come for Hajj. This man didn't say that. He said, ask Allah to make me a payer of zakah. Why? Because a payer of zakah is a rich man. And a rich man can afford to go for Hajj. So he wants to make an ibadah now that he can make here in Cape Town in order for him to get to Makkah. La zakata illa ala dhahri ghani. The deen says that there is no zakah except on the back of a rich man. You must have a certain amount of money lying still for a whole year before you're eligible to pay zakah. So that's what he wanted. He said, make dua, Allah must make me a zakah payer. Allah must give me rizq so that I can go for hajj myself. Subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the muhsineen, inshallah. May we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us. May Allah give that this lockdown contribute towards us becoming less concerned about ourselves and about tomorrow and about September and tomorrow. People are worried about what's going to happen in September, what's going to happen in October. No, we must worry about what the now. It is only the now that matters. As I'm sitting to you now, this is what matters to me, and this should be what matters to you. What is going to happen? What we're going to have for lunch? We don't know. We may not be alive. What's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know. As the saying goes, Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, I, O Lord, you're always worried about tomorrow. I, Allah, don't ask you for your ibadah of tomorrow. I only ask you for your ibadah for today. Subhanallah. So today is very important. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that we now imbibe the word muhsineen, and we know now what it means. And now, because it's on YouTube, you can listen to it again. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give shifa to all the people who are in hospital with corona. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the people of the world, whether they're Muslim, whether they're non-Muslim, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Muslim, whatever religion they may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give relief to all the people of the world, whether it's financial relief or physical relief or relief in terms of their health or relief in terms of their wealth or relief in terms of their jobs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmah is everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah cannot take you outside of his realm of rahmah, because Allah is everywhere. Allah's rahmah is everywhere. Covers everybody. But Allah is, inna rahmat Allah qareebun min al-muhsinin. Allah's rahmah is closer to those who are muhsinin, who are the muhsinin. So we make dua for everybody, for the health of everybody, for the safety of everybody. Sometimes we're selfish, we just make dua for ourselves. Prophet ﷺ didn't do that. He made dua for everybody. Rahmatan. Allah could have said that he's rahmatan lil mu'mineen. He's rahmatan lil muslimin. Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. Allah didn't say that. Allah says rahmatan lil alameen. He's not only rahmat to this dunya, he's rahmatan lil alameen. All the dunyas which Allah created. He's the mercy for all of us, everybody. And why does Allah say that? Why for everybody? Because the possibility is that everybody could become Muslim tomorrow or next year or today. The worst people could become Muslim. And then we cursed them before. Now, next time you see, my neighbor's become Muslim, and I always said he was a bad man, he drinks wine, etc., etc. People can change. So we make dua for everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our duas. And inshallah, on Sunday, 12 o'clock, I want to speak about the central position of women in the universe based on the Quran. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about women, their central position in the universe, not in the world, in the universe, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the woman? So women could be our wives, our mothers, our sisters. Allah talks about all women. But we should hear, on Sunday how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about women. And it's important for husbands to listen to this lecture. It's important for sons to listen to it. It's important for, especially people who are not married yet, to listen to it, both men and women, to understand their position, to understand how much Allah loves them. Because we live in a world where women march against men. Men oppress women. They abuse women. Because they don't understand What the creator of women say to us about women. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give inshallah that we reach Sunday, and that if you have a chance, you listen to the lecture at 12 o'clock. And please, I'd like you to just press the subscribe button on your screen so that we can send you notices of any other lectures that I may give, and you will receive it on your WhatsApp or on your Gmail, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you.